The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. What up, what up, what up, Orange Country? Thanks again for tuning in to another epi of Eat 'Em Up. So much to get to today, so why not? Let's get to our first guest right out of the gate here. Scott Morrow joins us from CCM Hockey. He's their top pro guy, dishing out all of the latest and greatest equipment. So can't wait. Wow. How about this? We have Scott Morrow from CCM. Scott, you've been around the game of hockey for a long time now, so I'm going to put the spotlight on you. Why don't you give a quick introduction and let the listeners know where you've been this last 20 or so years? And once again, you've been around the game a ton, so why don't you have at it and let us know your role with CCM?
Started with CCM, I guess it's been about 21, maybe going on 22 years now. So quite a long tenure, and kind of have a hybrid role with them where I started off with selling the retail portion, like the stores and whatnot. And then I've been doing pro as well for 15 plus years, where your main role is working with players like yourself when you were playing, trying to get them into CCM gear. Pretty much a head to toe brand, and that's been fun over the years, because you have everything to sell. There's really only two brands out there that do, you know, head to toe as far as working with the players. So,
and what is
it's been fun?
And what does a day to day outlook look like? What I know you're everywhere. The amount of rewards miles you have is probably insane. So, what does the typical day look like for you?
During the year, it's pretty hectic, because you're going, I see the NHL teams. I try to get out there, you know, every 3 weeks or so, working with the players and the equipment managers on a daily basis. So during the year, I'm working with NHL teams, American Hockey League teams, colleges, et cetera. So you're constantly kind of seeing the teams, making sure everyone's happy with their sticks, skates, gloves, what products they need, because the teams are ordering whether multiple pairs of skates or gloves or sticks throughout the year. So this is the fun part of the year for me, where I get to relax a little bit. The teams, you know, there's not as many teams playing at this point, so you're not doing as much of the traveling portion. It's more of meetings and now summer samples with players and making sure that they've got all their gear for the upcoming season.
Well, going back to my playing days, you know, I used Bauer, I used Warrior, but you're the one that got me into the CCM gear, pretty much all the way from the skates all the way up to the helmet there. So what are some of your top selling points trying to get any players, whether it be myself back in the day or current players, to switch over to the CCM brand?
I think one of the things that we've done a pretty good job is the R&D portion, and whether it's coming out with a full composite one piece skate where there was no outsole. We were, we've changed that model. Our R&D and the research and development that we do in our stick lab up in Montreal with creating new versions of the sticks and different kick points and different carbon fibers that you can use. When you were playing or when I was playing, it was not as much where the stick did a lot of the work for you. Now it's so much loading the stick in a quick release. So I think we've done a good job, you know, everything down to a full blown custom helmet where you're making a mold of your head. And it's kind of funny, I can look back, and the first time we started that process, Austin Matthews, a number of years ago in Arizona, you put a bonnet over your head and you scan your head, and all the guys were kind of giving him grief in the locker room, like, what the heck is this going on? But so there is some cool stuff out there. whether scanning feet or scanning your head for custom helmets and skates. So it's come a long way over the years. That's for sure.
Speaking of Austin Matthews, he's just one of the big time names you got signed under your guys's label. And it is not only him, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Macklin Celebrini. What does it take to get guys of that caliber to sign with CCM over, obviously, other highly competitive brands such as Bauer, so on and so forth?
I think one of the things we hopefully pride ourselves in across the company is working not only with the technology portion, but the relationship side. So the reps, we really try to focus on listening to what the player's wanting and needing. You know, it is like some players are very specific and some players don't really care what they use. So, a lot of guys are always looking for the next edge over an opponent on, what they can use, you know, whether it's, a faster shot or better stick handling with the better feel with your blade. So, you know, it's listening to the guys, and now it's even younger. You're seeing these kids come up. And you're starting to work with these players because there's the, you know, the development program for the U.S. where the kids are going there at a young age. So you're seeing the top players, you know, Macklin Celebrini, he played with one of my nephews at Shattuck way back in the day. And that's where we first, you know, started to hear about him as an up and coming star. So it's because of the social media aspect and internet and all that, you hear about these kids so much younger. And which ones are going to be in the NHL?
Well, hockey fans everywhere know that CCM is constantly leading the charge when it comes to, as you mentioned, R&D, just top the line products, which I want to jump to my next point. And what is the latest and the greatest for CCM? What's going to separate CCM from the competitors out there over the next couple of years?
You know what? I think our sticks, the players, when I talk to them and work with them at the highest levels, they always say that our sticks have the best pop, shooting wise. And if you look at, you know, a number of the top scorers, like we were talking about before, top players in the game, they just come to you and they're like, hey, I feel like my shot's harder. And now you're trying, you know, some guys will try different kick points or different stiffness levels in their blade, whether they go for an extra stiff blade or a softer feel. You know, we've got a couple new technologies out there where the blade's softer in the heel for more feel, and then it gets stiffer at the toe. So the torsional, it's not torquing on you when you're shooting. So I think they're more accurate. You know, things like that. Like I talked about the custom helmet, you know, there's probably 200 plus players in the NHL wearing that custom helmet where you mold your head. And so different things like that. It's getting harder and harder to separate yourself because everyone's trying to do the same, you know, hey, get the edge. What's going to be new? And there's only so much you can do as far as making the stick lighter. And then the performance level, you don't want breakage. So it's a fine line.
Good stuff. Sure. Good stuff. Well, you have, once again, and you mentioned it earlier, I mentioned it earlier, how long you've been in the game of hockey, whether it's 20 years, 30 years ago, you must have some interesting equipment stories. You have any over the last few years?
Well, I thought of one. It's funny you say that because the Four Nations, you know, that was a pretty cool tournament to watch. And then all of a sudden, like Thomas Harley gets thrown in there, you know, playing for Team Canada. And we kind of have projection lists of maybe who might be playing before. So your guys are, some guys are particular, but you want to have, you know, gloves made for players if they're going to be playing in a tournament. So ironically, he gets the call and he gets a tap on the shoulder to play. And, you know, we delivered gloves to him that we had made for the tournament. And because everyone has different models and specs and sizes. So it was pretty cool to be able to deliver something like that right out of the gate that we had done for him. So but I remember, you know, one of the Anaheim players, Francois Beauchemin, that played there for a while. And I just remember working with him with skates, and he had such a wide foot where we had to make like a triple E, you know, the custom boot. And I remember every time I would mold skates with him, his foot, you know, was almost like the Freddie Flintstone foot going in there. And he had such big bone and ankles and his foot. But yeah, you're doing all different kinds of custom stuff for guys over the years. So, but he's one that the, you know, the people are very familiar with in Anaheim. So
I'm going to text Bosch right after we hop off this call here and let him know. I didn't know he had boats for feet. Oh, so anyway,
he had the wide feet. That's for sure. So
I'll let him know. Okay. Last thing, yeah. CCM sty check. We got five pictures here, Scott, and there's no better guess to dissect these equipment. For some, it's gloves only, some it's helmet only, but we're going to start off with my former teammate, absolute beauty, legend, Saku Koivu. I played with some great, great players, Timu, Saku. I mean, the list goes on and on. Bosch, as we just talked about, okay, we got helmet and we got gloves, at least. I know he was rocking a tie. He's got the pants. I think he's going Bauer skate, but that's pretty good. CCM pants, gloves, stick. And helmet. Any insight into a couple of these products?
Yes, Saku was awesome. I loved working with him. And when he was in Anaheim, he was in our skates. And a funny story about him with his skates is he puts in a lift about at least a half to three quarters inch in his heat, like the front and back of his skates. So when he turned, he wouldn't bottom out and fall. So, and it made him a little bit taller on the ice. So he was a beauty, and he went through a bunch of gear with me over the years, but he had, you know, back in, when we were working with him, we probably had like three or four stick factories. And I remember he would switch between the factories and the field of the sticks, after he came down from Montreal. So, but it was pretty neat.
Good insight there. What a beauty he was. How about this? You talk about latest and greatest Cutter Gauthier. He's rocking a lot of CCM. I mean, he's rocking everything. Just speak on some of the latest and the greatest we're seeing in this pick.
He's really fun to work with because he's kind of the younger generation where they are looking for the next edge. So Cutter's a guy that ever since he was at BC and when we were working with him, that he wants to try the new gear. Like when there's something new that's coming out, he wants to see like, kind of what we were talking about, like get the edge, you know, like what is there something that I can get that I can perform better with? You know, he went, when he was playing in the national championship, he went right into a new pair of skates that we had just come out with, warm one practice and warm in the, you know, the NCAA tournament, which was really cool to have him, you know, kind of rocking the new stuff right out of the gate.
And what is the exact product title for the new Tax case? I mean, those are sick.
Those are the Tax XF. And he wore, if some of the, you probably remember at the start of this year too, he had like the retro old wedge look on the skates where Cutter wore those too for, you know, probably a month where right out of the start of the season. Where he had the old kind of that wedge looking, if you remember, you know, Mike Madonna and Neuendijk and all the guys back in the day, everyone wore those. Cutter's in the custom helmet where you make the mold. And so he's got all the, you know, the current cool stuff that we come out with. And in the summer, you know, he'll try some different sticks and curves and flexes and whatnot. So
10 sty points for our boy Cutter. Who's next here? Oh, we got Pavel Mentikov, another latest and greatest. Same helmet here as Cutter?
I think he's in the 910 helmet.
Okay.
So a little
different.
It's the same shell and the look, but the guts of the helmet are different. So the foams it just feels a little bit different on the head, but that was something that when he came over, he tried on and really liked that. So there's certain preferences and styles, but he's a guy I'd like to get in the gear and you know, he tests some sticks over the summer. So hopefully never know if he comes back, you know, this season and says, hey, I want to try CCM and use it during the year. So,
okay. You hear that, Minty? Scott's going to be all over you in the hallways there. Can't wait. How about Steve Ruchin? How about this? What helmet is that? That's kind of like the bubblier CCM helmet. Yeah. What is that one?
That looks like an old HT2 that everyone wore back in the day, and that had like a VN foam, like a softer flexing foam, where they've gone away from that now to kind of help that over time. That helmet gets a little hard, the cushion, so you're more prone to concussions or if you're hitting your head. So those, you know, the technology and the foams that they use now are so much better than what he was sporting back in the day. But yeah, that's an old one, but there was a lot of guys that wore that helmet. Boy, that was popular.
100%. I mean, you just said it. Everyone was wearing that. Remember, that was a popular one. How about this? Another goat here, Paul Kariya. What? So this is, I'm assuming this helmet was out at the same time as Ruchin's. Am I mistaken there?
Yeah. No, those are the same helmet. And I love looking at the old gear. I mean, you look at some players, like he's got a CCM helmet, Easton gloves and stick, Bauer skates. So some guys use all different companies' products. Some guys will use, you know, a few of one and a few of the other. So it's kind of nice when you work with someone and they're using head to toe, and you know, they're kind of giving you feedback on everything that you're servicing them with. So
was that a little bit more prevalent in that era, in Korea's era, I'll say, as far as players and their open-mindedness to trying a plethora of products instead of just one?
Yeah. And also, I mean, heck, I remember when I came out of college and turned pro, and you go into the equipment rooms of it's changed so much. But I remember I'd go in and there was literally just cardboard boxes full of stuff, and you'd pick out what you wanted, you know, hey, what helmet do you want? What gloves do you want? What pants do you want? So back then when he probably came out, guys, it wasn't as custom. You know, now guys are altering, you know, your skates or your gloves or, you know, the helmets. And so back when Korea probably first came out, you're kind of getting stuff from different companies when you come to a team. So it was a little bit different back then. And the gloves and everything, when you're looking at Korea's gloves there, you know, the leather gloves compared to now, they're all nylon. And, you know, Sidney Crosby's the old guy in the league. Man, I shouldn't call him old, heck of a player, but he's, you know, wearing the leather gloves where everyone has now moved on to nylon and different, you know, technologies, but Sid still uses the vintage glove, so to speak.
That's insane. That's a great point. And I mean, Sid, he's obviously one of the more superstitious guys in the league, if not the most. Is he still using that same jock strap?
He loves the gear that's got him, you know, like he doesn't want to change. Like,
yeah.
You know, his curve over 15 plus years, his curve has hardly changed at all. You know, he might try different flexes in his stick, but he likes the same stuff and it works for him. Like he's dialed in,
You see guys like, you know, other greats in their respective sports. Tiger Woods, he's at the top of the golf game, then he switches hitting coaches, right? So it's just it's interesting to see greatness in when they are at the top. Are they more superstitious, like said, or do they like that constant change and trying to even improve their game and push themselves even further from the pack? So all good stuff, Scott. It's been a pleasure. Any plugs, websites, where can we find you?
I'm not a social media guy. So I like, as far as like putting stuff out there and, you know, the tweets and whatnot, but, so I'm, you pretty much see me around the locker rooms and the rinks. And this is my favorite time because I actually get to watch a lot of hockey. I'm not on the road every day. So that's that. This is like watching games every night and relaxing is kind of fun.
And CCM, no B2C as far as direct CCM.com, right? You got to go through.
CC at CCMHockey.com. We've got our website and there's all kinds of, they do a great job on social media, sending stuff out and whether it's emails or, clips of seeing what's going on in the community that CCM's doing. So there's a lot of stuff that we do all summer long and training sessions. They do the 200 by 85 tournaments and support a lot of stuff. We were just down at the U18s. It was in Dallas where they met with teams and players of the, all the U18 teams that came there to play. So there's constantly guys are going to the NHL combine. So we've got a rep force and a sales force where we're doing different stuff constantly all summer long that we do. And there's pro trainers meetings that I go to in Florida where all the equipment guys are there. And that's a huge thing for us because we work very closely with all the equipment managers throughout the league that work with the players on a daily basis. So, so we're in the summer, it's relaxing, but there is still quite a bit of stuff that we do.
Okay. So. CCM.com. You heard it. B2C. Wow. I'm gonna have to check that out myself. And I'm a pure hockey guy myself. Wherever you are shopping for your equipment, Hockey Monkey, the list goes on and on. Buy CCM. Why? We heard all the good reasons why here from Scott today. So Scott, thanks again for hopping on with us.
You bet.
Eat 'em up and look forward to chatting with you later.
You bet. I love seeing you during the year too. But this was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, appreciate you. If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. Such heat from Scott. Such heat. As always, Scott and I go way back all the way to the minor league days and just making players feel comfortable in that equipment. Just great attitude, positive energy, and I always loved seeing Scott in the hallways and just knows his stuff. Just as you can hear, just knows his stuff regarding the technology, what players want and that communication, the pointers of the players giving him that insight and him going to CCM, getting all the R&D and all the good stuff sorted out so he can bring the best product to his players. And I know firsthand just the improvement of technology, and that's all led by CCM. So go out to your local store, as you mentioned, CCM.com. They're not too long ago, and I'm gonna do that myself, get myself some fresh equipment from our friends over at CCM. We got a whole lot more to get to, including Plops. How about game 4 of Florida and Carolina? You thought that was going to be a sweep over, and the Canes end their winless drought when it comes to Eastern Conference finals. They have struggled securing dubs in that realm. Well, they get it done last game. How about Stakeoven's snipe there? And it was a short side cheese shot. If that shot doesn't tell you you need to shoot more pucks and work on your shot more, I don't know what will, right? Because it was from deep. It was shot from his offside. And boy, was it a laser. If he gave another shot, it would have been stopped. It was pinpoint. And if you're working on your game, youth players out there, adult league players, 500 shots at least a day. Then you go from there. Then you get to 600. You feel those calluses start coming about. You taper off. Okay, that's how you avoid those blisters. Get those heavy calluses on your hands. You start feeling that blister after 300, 400. You stop go out the next day, then you'll get 450. You start feeling those blisters come on, and that's how you increase your tolerance and you get those calluses built up. Pretty soon you'll be out 1,000 shots. But that shot right there from Steenhoven, I think that told all of us, if we're hockey players out there working on our game, I got to go home and shoot after work. I got to go home after school and shoot 500 before my practice, or wake up an hour earlier and shoot 500 then. It must be done, because you don't get that type of shot, that Steenhoven unleashed there, shooting shot after shot after shot and making sure that consistency and relentless ability, as we saw on that Steenhoven shot, you get there. How about Nate Schmidt hits the post? So Freddie got a little help from his best friend there. And the key for the Canes, if they want to get back into the series, is goaltending. Look, Florida, they tested Freddie. They really did. And look, you saw the physicality with that Slavin hit on Barkov, squeezing him off there. That was scary. You just wanted him more in that case. And the Canes just slightly wanted him more for the game there. And it's got to stay the same way if they want to get back in the series and stag the next two and tie the series up. They got to play the same way. Good goaltending, okay? Getting mean there, as Slavin did on Barkov on that squeeze off. And I don't think it's slim to none shots that the Canes come back in this series. If it's not Florida sealing the deal in tonight's game, then look, it's going to be a tough road ahead for the Canes, but they got to play the same way. Lights out goaltending, physical, and if it's one opportunity they got to bear down, well, they just got to, in grade A scoring chances, bear down. But I got Florida, and it's not saying a whole lot, but them taking it. And how about this Oil win in game four last night? The problem with Dallas was not keeping the shot volume up. I mean, they came out in the first period, 16 shots on goal. Then it goes to 9 in the second, 4 in the third. And there was a steady volume of shots for Edmonton through 3, 33 total shots on goal. Power play was huge for Edmonton. And how about Edmonton in their physicality this series? They put up 50 hits before in this series. Last game, they put up 46. And it's just been a lot more physical as compared to even last postseason. They've upped the ante in that sense. And of course, right around the deadline, they picked up key pieces to add to that physicality department. So it makes sense. That's what they went out hunting for. They're getting it. It's paying dividends. And they're going to have to keep that up against Florida, who seems to be in great position to close out that series against Carolina. If you'd ask me, and I've been here and I've been asking just around the rink, around town, hey, who do you got? Hey, Edmonton. Seems like the out of the people I've asked, they have Edmonton taking it all. I'm not so sure about that. I'm just not. Because you have Marchand now. You have that added layer of winning, of hunger, of grit. They've been putting up necessary goals. They've had tough tests against, of course, Toronto. I took Florida lightly right out of the gate, thinking that they were going to be beaten by Tampa. Boy, was I wrong. And it's interesting because they're looking very similar. They both, and I'm talking Oil and Florida, both quick transition teams. They both can skate like the wind, but they're both playing very physical. Between the two teams, if I were to have to pick one, I would probably pick Florida again, taking it all this year. Why? Coach to coach. I mean, Paul Maurice, he's got so much experience. And if there's one coach that isn't going to let his team feel comfortable being there before winning it last year, it's him. He's going to be the guy that's going to constantly be telling his guys to look themselves in the mirror until that final horn, until that final buzzer. And so when it comes to coaching, both lights out coaches, one a little bit more experience, a lot more experience, of course. Okay. But coach to coach, I got Florida. D to D, I got Florida. And, you know, whether it's the Seth Jones pickup looking great, whether it's just more experience on the back end and them getting it done. I thought Montour was a huge piece of that cup win, going straight down to the wire. I remember the last game, Montour, I think he was a first pass attempt, bobbles puck. It comes back the other way, and he reaches. He gets a stick on it, great poke check. But it's just that intuitiveness and attention to detail that Montour brings. That, boy, I tell you, if it goes down to game six, down game seven, in this next series, pending what looks like both Oil and Florida are going to move on and play each other, you need those attention to details, the game within the game. And Florida, boy, do they still got it. When it comes to the forward side of both teams, look, I mean, greatness is greatness. And McDavid, Drysdale, greatness is greatness, and they are putting this team on their back, along with Nugent Hopkins, who everyone's saying, and he's getting it done. He's getting it done, point blank. Both teams are having similar rides to this final that it makes it even more difficult to predict, anticipate, but Florida. They were hot entering playoffs. They've kept that momentum. They've been tested. And boy, do they just keep getting it done. So if I were to have to pick one team taking it all between the Oil and the Panthers there, I'd have to go Panthers. Goaltender to goaltender, even Skinner's looking great. He's making some big time stops. He, once again, fended off a lot in that first period last game. But goaltender to goaltender, I got Florida. It just is what it is. Look, no one asked me to make this prediction. Why am I doing? I don't know. Could it come back to haunt me? 100%. I'm ready to take all those risks because I'm that confident in the Florida Panthers. Some world championship recap action going on here. Look, the good guys. Team USA, red, white, and blue. How fitting is that? You know, Memorial Day weekend, capturing the gold. You couldn't have written a better script. Multiple ducks with fantastic tournaments. But the USA in the quarters battling Finland, absolute dogfight. US down 2-1 early. BM with a greaser, and then Garland with a greaser. Pento with that nice low far side shot for a goal. I mean, it was USA dangling hope in front of Finland's face early on, but then saying, nah. Keller seals the deal with an empty netter, solidifying USA's 5-2 win. And then in the semis, USA-Sweden, our boy Cutter Gauthier snags the second tally on his signature. How about that? You see that one? The signature along the ice, five-hole tuck that we're so used to seeing out of him. And then how about Comer? Oh, my. With USA's fifth goal, an absolute howitzer. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for game one of this upcoming season where we get back to seeing Comer grab that puck and going and joining the rush. I mean, we saw those wheels on that rush for that goal. Can't wait to see it. We were seeing it all season long this past season. We're going to continue to see it. When is he going to get to a point of game? It's not a matter of if, it's when. Because he wants to be that guy. He is that guy. And he just keeps getting it done. And it's translating into this worldwide hockey tournament that was so fun through and through. And yeah, he's just getting it done on the worldwide stage. And so USA goes on to beat Sweden, and then they take it in OT against Switzerland. And there's just no better feeling. And tough breaks for Team Canada, some head scratchers for other teams in the tourney. So we'll see what they do as a governing body there with Hockey Canada. And, we shall see, because it's interesting. Some tough losses from some teams that you didn't expect to take down the country with the longstanding hockey history. Leo leading all Ducks players in the tourney with 10 points, including 4 goals, 6 assists. And Cutter Gauthier with 5 goals, 9 points in 10 games. Comer with 5 points in 10 games. Talked about during last epi the success of Stian Solberg in Norway. He finished the tourney with 6 points in 7 games. How about that? Including 4 tucks. Let's go. But the most important thing is red, white, and blue winning it. And our Ducks having a huge part in that. USA's first gold at the World Championships, IIHF sanctions, since 1933. How about that? That's a long time ago. So this is huge for hockey in America. The development program has skyrocketed. The interest throughout the U.S., non-traditional hockey areas in the constant boom, these hotbeds popping up left and right. You see it in the World Juniors, how far hockey's come, the enrollment with USA Hockey, and the outreach. It's all good stuff. So congrats to Team USA and really all of our Ducks, no matter what the country they represented. Just big-time stuff, and we have a lot to look forward to. Finally, the chirp of today's epi. If you're maybe wondering what to tell the goalie, the opposing goalie, in your upcoming beer league game, tell him to switch to Mercury Insurance. Maybe he'll save more. Thanks for tuning in yet again. Catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.